Tales of Zendaria, Chapter 14, Gritfall. They had been piled into the back of a long military wagon led by Takarian tinsteeds. The group were not in shackles, but sat either side of each of them was a Takarian soldier, and at the very front was the official-looking man in white. The air was thick with resentment, and silence only furthered its cause. Aching for distraction, April stared out of the windows of the wagon as it trundled through the streets of Poltar. They were entering the more populous side of town, and it seemed brimming with life, in stark contrast to the ruins they had just been fighting in. Statues lined the street corners and squares in remembrance of the dead. April glanced down an alleyway and could have sworn she saw a statue there too, though it seemed an odd place to erect a monument. Within half an hour they had left the town of Poltar and proceeded deep into the Takarian countryside. It was darker than Zendaria, less vibrant somehow, but equally luscious. The trees appeared more squat than back home, but with significantly more leaves. Behind grey stone walls was field upon field of farm creatures, rising over hills and off into the distance. This piqued Willow's interest, and she sat up from being curled around April's feet and sniffed out the window eagerly. It smelled like fresh air and interesting animals that almost definitely wanted to be her friend. Bolthar and Phelan sat further down the wagon from April, both bearing grim, angry expressions. Salanth sat opposite, stoic as ever and arms folded. His eyes flickered every once in a while, which to April would signify that something was going on behind the scenes, but she couldn't be entirely sure. Houses began to appear on either side of the road, first sporadically and then slowly lining the streets with greater numbers and an increasing amount of homes sprawling behind into the distance. Had the group been able to see what was ahead, they would have noticed an enormous cast-iron gate bearing the face of former Queen Justinia. As it was, they could only see to the wagon's left and right sides, and instead noticed a change in architecture. From the Zendarian-influenced curls and waves in the wooden stone came a distinctly more cubic approach. The houses and shops were angular and favored function over form in every way, with flat roofs, no decorative carvings whatsoever, and almost no use of wooden beams. Rolling through the city, April was stunned by the crude and brutalist nature of Gritfall, but the people went about their business just like any other city on the continent. After a short while of heading in a straight line, the tinsteeds came to a complete stop and the wagon's rear doors opened. Soldiers began climbing out, silently instructing April and her group to do the same. Stepping into the light of the afternoon, April looked around her and gasped. They were in a large courtyard, and before them stood Gritfall Palace. It was easily 4 times the size of the palace in Greenbridge. The structure of it must have taken up at least a fifth of the city, April decided. In keeping with the rest of Gritfall, the palace was angular and blocky, formed out of gigantic rectangles stacked against or atop one another. Towers built up at the sides and suddenly sprawled outwards in sharp fingers pointing at the surrounding city. At the center were hundreds of smaller rectangles, all culminating in a slowly realized point several hundreds of feet above the ground. Bolthar stepped out from the wagon, noticed April's gaping mouth, and turned to marvel at the palace.
Bloody hell! I'd heard it was a sight to see, but it really is quite spectacular, eh? The dwarf mused.
The blue, nearly cloudless sky acted as a backdrop and only served to increase the impressiveness of the architecture.
I mean, look at the size of the thing! There again, with the size of old Beefold, they'll need as big a building as they can get, eh? Eh?
Bolthar nudged April jovially, who purposefully did not respond. Fat jokes were not among the list of things she found funny, regardless of who they were about.
It has been a while since I was last here.
Salanth, too, examined their surroundings.
It would appear little has changed.
April was struck by a memory of what Elder Samson had said to Salanth back at the Rangers' Council Embassy in Zendar.
Right. You were working here before coming to Zendaria, weren't you? April asked curiously.
Indeed. Simple administrative needs, mostly. Fresh peace agreements require constant monitoring, particularly with matters being as delicate as they are between Takaria and Zendaria, though it may be irrelevant now.
Salanth looked down at his feet.
Oh, don't say that, Ranger Face.
Phelan smiled at Salanth and patted him on the back.
Or possibly former Ranger Face. Anyway, we'll kick Quo Steed to the curb and get this all sorted out. Positive thinking and all that.
Salanth feigned a muted smile beneath his mask.
That is another concern, Salanth admitted, unsure of the circumstances of his employment.
Get inside, the lot of you!
A voice called over from the wagon, and it was the mustachioed man wearing white. Soldiers littered about near him.
The king is expecting you, and I won't tolerate dilly-dally.
Balthar smirked at the man with his eyebrow raised, lit a cigarette, and began strolling towards the main entrance to the palace. The rest of the group followed, Willow trailing at April's heels. The main door itself was impossibly, unreasonably tall, and the width of Balthar's tavern at least. One of the soldiers called out something unintelligible in a high, commanding voice, and the door split in two, each half sliding in opposite directions for them to enter. They walked into the cavernous hall, which was lined with soldiers dotted along the walls.
"Follow me,"
the officious man commanded, walking to the wall opposite the main door. Balthar shrugged, and the group continued to follow until they reached a predictably blocky lever mechanism. The mustache pulled the lever down, and after several clunking noises and a cacophony caused by clanking metal, a platform arrived in front of them from above. Salanth stepped on confidently. The others were not so sure.
"Come on, come on, we don't have all day,"
Mustache Mustacheson barked. April wasn't sure of his name, but imagined this would be about right. They collectively stepped onto the platform, and Mustache once more pulled the lever, this time upwards. The clanking noise was unbearable from within the elevator, and the sheer force of being pulled upwards made April's stomach perform somersaults. After several minutes of feeling like she would be pulled through the floor, April was grateful when the elevator jerked to a halt. A door lit in faint white neon slid open in front of them, and a large rectangular room appeared, lined with smooth dark grey stone. In the dead center of the room, about 50 paces ahead of them, was a throne, and in the throne sat King Beefold. April had to admit the tales bore some accuracy. Beefold practically spilled over the edges of the carved stone armrests, but that was not what was drawing her attention. The king hadn't raised an eye at their entrance, but continued to lounge in his throne, holding a newspaper in one hand. He stared at it intensely, muttering and occasionally jabbing at it with his other hand, which was made of ornately formed metal. April had never seen anything like it. It moved and flexed just as flesh and bone would. It was thin and nimble. The group proceeded forward to the throne, and Mustache bowed practically to the floor, extending his arm out as he went.
"Highness, as requested, I present to you Balthar of Llandreth, Phelan Syrut, former Ranger Salanth, and Princess April Coursteed of Zendaria."
Willow barked, smiling, and Mustache glared at her. King Beefold lowered his paper and surveyed the rabble stood before him, twirling his orange-brown beard quizzically.
"None of you look as I'd imagined," Beefold said finally. "Except for you, Princess, but you're the only one who could afford a portrait, I would suppose."
"Funny, you're exactly as I'd imagined," Balthar smirked.
The king sat up and leaned forward slightly.
"Ah, the famous quick wit of the Zendarian Special Forces. So I hear it that same wit has landed you as a fugitive and burned your tavern to cinders, so I suggest you not rely on it too much."
Balthar's face turned grim.
"We also have here a Phelan Syrut, mercenary at large, but seemingly no one particularly offensive to Takeria."
Phelan stood silent, appreciating the lack of conflict directed at her.
"And indeed, former Ranger Salanth. It's good to see you, even if you are a black-haired ninny."
Salanth stepped forward and bowed slightly.
"And you as well, Highness, even if you are comprised mostly of enemies you've eaten. Regretfully, I was only alerted to my status of employment by your man here. May I ask, do you know what happened after the events in Zendar?"
Salanth asked curiously.
King Beefold grinned, showing off a few gold teeth.
"Oh, I know what happened, that's for sure. You lot raised a merry hell against Coursteed and narrowly escaped from what I've heard. The princess here is still considered kidnapped by the dwarf, and the half-elf is his accomplice, going by the warrants for arrest. You, Salanth, are a special consideration."
Beefold raised an eyebrow and smiled.
"They're not sure whether you're an accomplice or indeed the grand architect of this whole thing."
Salanth's eyes grew wide, an ocean of white surrounding his piercing blue irises.
"How could this happen?" the ranger, or indeed former ranger, flustered. "I have been a model ranger for nigh on 2 decades.
"You disappeared."
King Beefold sat back again.
"The Rangers' Council, even Samson, even Froltag, had to consider you AWOL. The elders were not happy. There again, with Coursteed stomping about and demanding satisfaction, they had little choice in the matter."
April's stomach still hadn't settled from the elevator, and she once more felt it sink.
I imagine he threatened war? Solanth inquired.
Oh, not just war. A dissolution of the Rangers' Council itself. He threatened to call upon allies to sever ties with the Rangers entirely, said Beefold.
Which would fit his plans for war quite suitably. There would be no unified force without the Rangers' Council intervening, and so the Elders were indeed caught between two poor outcomes. We played right into King Quosteed's hands by escaping. Solanth took a deep breath and exhaled. The Council decided correctly. It is better that my title is forfeit than the world be forfeit.
You're taking this a lot better than I would, Balthar stared in amazement. I wanted to murder Handel for setting fire to the Beast and Bard.
Yes, well, I know something he does not, Solanth said, looking up. We're going to stop the bastard.
April was shocked to hear abrasive language from Solanth, but it certainly drove his point home.
And what of you, Princess of Zendaria?
King Beefold's eyes set upon April.
You've not said hide nor hair. I'll admit, you don't look to be held captive.
April elected to ignore the mixed metaphor and replied,
That's because I'm not. It seems my father has done unspeakable things for unspeakable reasons, and I intend to set things right.
Beefold's face was serious, but he seemed interested.
And how exactly will you accomplish that? The Takarian king inquired.
Honestly, I'm not sure yet. We've spent most of our time running. We haven't had a chance to figure out what to do, April answered.
And I suppose it's here you'd like to stop running, King Beefold surmised.
That is correct, Highness. If I may, Solanth began.
Your Eminence, Mustache interrupted. King Quosteed may be a bassar of the highest order, but he will pay handsomely for the return of his daughter. Not only that, but the death of Balthar of Landreth would put many a Takarian widow at ease. The Rangers' Council are also calling for former Ranger Solanth to return. Might I suggest we comply, revel in our riches, and strengthen our already tentative peace?
King Beefold glared at the man in white who had crept to be within arm's reach of the throne.
Oh, shut up, Blythe, the king scolded, swatting Blythe away with his metallic hand. I've had about enough of you and your snivelling. If you're not careful, I'll plonk a dress over your head and send you to Quosteed.
Yes, Highness.
Blythe slunk away into the shadows of the room. April still felt that Mustache suited him better as a name.
You and yours can stay here within Gritfall Palace, at least for now, as my esteemed guests.
Though you will each have an armed escort at all times, King Beefold decided.
Wait, so we can stay in Tacharia, but we have to have a bloody guard following us around?
Phelan burst into the conversation.
And you can't leave the palace grounds. Quosteed has eyes everywhere and... Hang on. Did you just say it as Tacharia?
You do know that's not right, Beefold frowned.
I'd only ever seen it written down as a kid, so that's how I thought it was said. It just sort of stuck, I guess.
Phelan shrugged.
Fair enough. You might get some funny looks, though I suppose you're probably used to that, King Beefold chuckled and ignored Phelan's borderline murderous glare. Anyway, you have to stay within palace grounds in case a Zendarian agent sees you and starts this war a mite earlier than planned.
With luck, we will avoid it entirely, Solanth replied. Thank you for your hospitality, Your Highness. We are truly grateful,
he nudged Balthar.
Aye. In fairness, like, it is a decent thing to do and all that,
Balthar's voice trailed off.
King Beefold eyed the dwarf. War is war, Balthar of Landreth. I do not begrudge your actions during wartime, though they did often cause me no end of trouble. Doubtless plenty of Takarian warriors are less than favoured in Zendaria about now, too.
Balthar nodded.
That's true enough. There's many a widow along the border, that's for sure. And it's for their sake we must stop Quosteed in his tracks this time.
Beefold nodded once, and Balthar nodded back.
We'll talk more later. As it is, you must be exhausted and in dire need of refreshing.
The king gestured at Blythe Tash, who stood alert.
Take them down to the guest quarters and assign them a guard each.
Yes, Highness,
Mustache grovelled.
Follow me,
he yelled at no one in particular. The group did as instructed, leaving the king muttering at his newspaper once more, and back into the lift they went. They headed down a few floors, this time raising April's stomach to the ceiling, and were taken to a series of guest rooms that were truly fit for a palace.
The others seemed out of keeping with the plush nature of the rooms, but April finally felt somewhat at home. There were soft towels, a proper bed, parabeek feather pillows, and best of all, a full-sized bath which occupied most of the bathroom in its sheer scale. Albeit the taps were a bit funny, but April soon worked her way around them and not too long later felt thoroughly clean and relaxed, the most she had felt since leaving the palace in Greenbridge anyway. Willow was simply glad to have some quality time with her shiny green ball at long last. April had changed clothing in the bathroom, come into the main room, and sat on the edge of her bed, thinking. Every now and then her eye would catch the guard stood by the door watching her. She supposed that it was difficult to guard someone without looking at them, but it was still a touch disconcerting. A few moments later there was an assertive knock at the door, and the guard watching her opened it.
"Princess Corsteed, there is to be a feast downstairs. Your companions are already in the dining hall and waiting for you to join them."
The guard wore ceremonial armor plated in steel and gold, with the Tacharian podflower engraved into the breastplate. April was slightly taken aback by her long blonde hair, freckles, and glowing green eyes. She was beautiful. And a guard. Zendaya didn't allow women to join the military, but clearly Tacharia had more advanced ideas.
Okay. I really don't have anything banquet appropriate to wear, April stammered. It's a feast, Princess, not a banquet. It's a semantic difference, but an important one. You'll see.
The guard smiled warmly. The other, obviously male, guard stood in blissful ignorance of dress requirements.
You look just fine for a feast.
Okay.
April felt her cheeks flush, and she quickly got up off the bed, prompting Willow to stop chewing her ball and join April's side.
Let's go down, then.
A quiet elevator ride down, with April trying not to stare, and they were soon in the corridor leading to the dining hall. They walked to the large open archway, which had light spilling from it into the dark corridor, and they entered through it. April took in the sight before her. Row upon row of wooden tables lined the hall with benches either side of them. There was a gargantuan crowd already assembled, eating and drinking merrily. It was an exciting mess to witness, and it put the quiet dining hall in Zendaya to shame. April couldn't help but smile as she looked around. At the far end of the room was a table perpendicular to the rest, with King Beefold sat on it, and some empty chairs surrounding him. Along the wall was a table the length of the entire hall, stacked and almost overflowing with food. She spied Phelan by the buffet and so wandered over after thanking the guard and trying not to blush.
My gods, is that Findarian moist cake?
Phelan pointed at a tall, dark brown cylinder of cake. The chef, who had evidently been busy preparing the feast, was stood nearby to the table, making sure everything was properly stocked, and he answered.
Aye, we'd heard you were half-elf, and we thought you might like a taste of home. I do hope it lives up to expectations, he grinned.
I've never actually eaten it before, but I've heard the stories.
Phelan's voice trailed off.
Oh, well, I guess that takes the pressure off. Nothing to compare it to and all.
The chef smiled at the prospect of his being the first Findarian moist cake a half-elf would try.
No. Thank you, though.
Phelan forced a smile. She picked a slice and put it on her plate before heading back to the main table where Balthar was already sat. Drat! April followed her across the room, having not been able to grab her attention before she walked away. From the corner of her eye, she thought she saw a familiar face, but couldn't be sure.
Oh, I love some moist cake. I'll grab a bit in a minute. Did your Senend make this for you as well?
Balthar asked, eyeing up Phelan's plate.
No, we never could get the ingredients. Too pricey in Zendaya,
Phelan replied.
Ah, you're in for a treat,
Balthar grinned at his friend. He recognized her pain, but decided positivity would likely be best in this scenario.
Hello, April. Welcome to the madhouse.
Yes, it is a bit.
April surveyed the entire dining hall from her place at the main table and stood in shock. She couldn't be sure if she was hallucinating or having some kind of distant memory resurfacing, but she was certain, sat at a table halfway down the dining hall, was her mother.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Tales of Zendaria. I hope you have enjoyed this week's chapter. Exciting revelations, and I am always happy to leave you on a cliffhanger. Few bits of news this week. First off, for anyone who listens to any podcasts via Alexa, you can now do that with Tales of Zendaria, so that's cool. And Tales of Zendaria has been added to TuneIn, the podcast app TuneIn, so that's quite cool as well. Also available on Pandora for my American listeners who enjoy using Pandora. In more news, our very own Phelan, Mishkin Fitzgerald, has released an album this last week. It's called The Piano Conspires, and it's a piano reworking of an album that her band, Bird Eats Baby, released last year called The World Conspires. And I've listened through it, and it's fantastic, quite simply put. It's really interesting kind of rearrangements of the songs, and you know, because a lot of what Bird Eats Baby do, you know, it's rhythm-based and quite rocky in parts. And so it's really interesting to hear a reimagining of that. I will actually put a song at the end of this chapter, and it's from the album, and it's called How Do I? And it's a lovely piece. I highly recommend checking out the album. It's called The Piano Conspires, and it's under the name Mishkin Fitzgerald, and it's available pretty much everywhere, I think. So have a listen. It's really cool. I'm aware that I have quite a few new listeners this week, primarily from California, so that's cool. Surprising, but hello, Californians. You now make up about 10% of my listener base at this point, so hi, California. I hope you're doing well. We also have more blog posts and vlog posts and bonus mini chapters up for patrons up on Patreon. If you haven't checked it out yet, please do check out Tales of Zendaria on Patreon. It's just patreon.com/Tales of Zendaria, and you will find all of the cool rewards and things that I can offer you. And there are the written versions of all the chapters as well. There are two bonus mini chapters up currently, which offer contextual information, one of which follows a little known merchant on their way to a meeting, but I won't give away too much. If you are unable to become a patron, please do follow Tales of Zendaria on social media and leave reviews and like things and comment on things and all of that, because it is very, very helpful to me. So thank you. Thank you. Right. I think that's about it for news. So on to the top patrons, which reigning champion is still Kaz Moomin. Kaz, thank you again. You are excellent. A package should be on its way to you hopefully this weekend, depending on Royal Mail. Really does depend on them. But yeah, should be with you this weekend or at least early next week. But let me know what you think of that. And yeah, that's about it for this week. So again, thank you very much for listening. Tune in next week for more Tales of Zendaria. And as we exit, please enjoy How Do I by Mishkin Fitzgerald from the album The Piano Conspires.